Giving Birth to the Purposes of God. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. The Bible reveals that when God wanted to release His purposes on the earth, there have been times when He used angelic beings. But most often, He releases them through human vessels. This means that His purposes are released on the earth through people like you and me. As you walk with God, you will discover the plans and purposes that He desires to release on this earth through you. Some of these may be extremely significant, like the birth of the Son of God through a virgin, and some others may not be as significant, like setting up a nursery school in a remote village that no one has heard about. Yet, each is a work of God being released on the earth. This book contains some valuable insight on giving birth to the purposes of God on the earth. So, go about releasing the works of God through your life. Chapter 1. Lessons from the Mary Miracle. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign: behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. As you consider the Mary Miracle, here are some insights on releasing the work of God on the earth. Released into the earth at the appointed time. The birth of the Son of God into this world was foretold in the Garden of Eden. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed: he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Prophets, like Isaiah and others, prophesied about his coming. Yet, God didn't seem to be in any hurry to send the Savior into the world. Nearly 4,000 years after the prophecy, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. God always releases His work into the earth at the appointed time. Every work that God wants to release through you will be released, only at the appointed time. Released through ordinary people. When God wanted to send His Son into the world, He chose a young Jewish lady, a virgin named Mary. It is awesome to consider that the most important work that God was ever going to do, sending the Savior of the world, was entrusted to a young virgin. What a great risk God had taken! What if something had happened to the baby that was conceived in Mary's womb? What if Mary had been forced to abort the baby? What if she had miscarried? What if she had been stoned to death, an event that was quite possible during that period in history? What would have happened to the Savior of the world then? What would have happened to humanity? Yet, despite all possibilities of failure, God took the risk of entrusting the greatest work to a young virgin. If God could do this, then surely He can entrust any other work, reaching out to multitudes with the gospel, healing the sick, setting the captives free, healing the nations, and so on, to people like you and me. God is not afraid to entrust His work to ordinary people. In fact, God has chosen to release His work on the earth through ordinary people. Must be unadulterated, born purely of His Spirit. The conception of the Son of God in Mary's womb was a supernatural act, a work that was purely of the Holy Spirit. Although the conception took place in a human womb, it happened through a miracle. There was no human element involved during the conception. The angel told Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Every work that God wants to release through us must be born of His Spirit. Although it will be released through our natural ability and energy, it must be conceived of the Spirit. That which is born or conceived of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born or conceived of the Spirit is spirit. We cannot conceive a work exclusively through our human reasoning, imagination, or innovation and expect it to be a genuine work of God, no matter how spiritual it may seem. If the work is not born of the Holy Spirit, it will still be a work of the flesh, irrespective of how religious it may seem. God will not anoint the work of the flesh, Exodus chapter 30, verse 32. Might be a cause for embarrassment. What an honor for Mary to be the human vessel through which the Savior of the world was born. Yet, what an embarrassing position she was placed in. Here she was, a young unmarried woman who became pregnant. Yes, she was pregnant with the Son of God Himself, but did her family and friends accept her explanation? Did they believe her when she explained to them that she had become pregnant through the work of the Holy Spirit? Why did God have to put Mary through such an embarrassing situation when He wanted to birth the Son of God through her? There is a lesson for all of us in this. Very often, as we continue doing the work that God has entrusted to us, that work could be a cause for embarrassment. Not everyone will understand what God is doing in and through us. We may be despised and rejected for doing His work. Very often God allows us to go through this, so that the flesh can die. So that we can decrease, and the Son of God can increase. We learn to be unashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus and the work He is doing through us. The supernatural work of God is often released through normal, natural processes. Although the child was conceived in Mary's womb supernaturally, she still had to carry the child for the full term. Why hadn't God made the entire process, the conception, pregnancy, and delivery, a miracle? Wouldn't it have been a great miracle if the child had been conceived the first day and delivered as a baby the next day? Why did Mary have to go through the normal natural process of carrying the child for the full term? The important lesson here is that, very often, the supernatural work of God is executed on the earth through normal natural processes. For example, God may have called you to raise up a strong local church. This may be the work that He wants to release through you. He may have anointed you and gifted you in this area. Yet, you will have to go through the normal natural process of working hard, teaching, preaching, caring, planning, and organizing to build the local church. Only through your normal natural effort will the supernatural work of God be released. Another example would be in divine provision. As people of God, we believe that God will supply all our needs. We believe in God's supernatural provision. However, what we may fail to realize is that, in many cases, God's supernatural provision will come into our lives through the work of our own hands. We may have to work, and yet the provision we receive will still be supernatural. For instance, the very fact that you have a job may be a miracle. The provision that you receive through your work is more supernatural. Might encounter closed doors. The Bible tells us that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. We are not sure how many inns there were in Bethlehem. We could imagine Mary and Joseph stopping at several inns and still not being able to find a room. Perhaps the only inn they went to didn't have rooms to spare, and so the innkeeper directed them to a manger. Couldn't the God of this universe have supernaturally reserved at least one room for the birth of His Son? Can you imagine the thoughts that might have run through Mary's mind? She may have thought, "I'm sure God would keep a room for us. After all, the child that I am carrying is the Son of God. I'm sure there will be room for us at the inn." Yet, how disappointing that every door they knocked on seemed closed, until they got to the place where God wanted the baby to be born. So also, in our lives, as we go about birthing the work of God on the earth, it is possible that many times we may face closed doors. This does not mean that the work we are carrying is not genuine. Closed doors simply mean that we have to keep on moving, keep knocking on other doors, until we get to the place where God wants the work to be released. There are many who have genuine works of God conceived in their spirits that are truly of the Holy Spirit. However, they cannot deliver, give birth, until they get to the place where God wants them to be. They may have to go from place to place without any room to deliver until they arrive at the place where God wants them to be. We must be in the right place before the purposes of God can be birthed through us. Has to be protected and nurtured. As a child, Jesus had to grow up the same way as any other child would, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Jesus didn't start feeding and clothing himself the day he was born. Rather, Mary had to care for and nurture him and bring him up like any mother would. In fact, when Jesus was a baby, Joseph and Mary had to protect his life by leaving Bethlehem and going to Egypt, since King Herod was attempting to kill the child, Matthew chapter 2, verses 12-16. Mary and Joseph didn't leave the baby to himself thinking, well, this is the Son of God after all. Surely, he can feed, protect, and take care of himself. Mary had the responsibility of not only giving birth to the Son of God, but also of nurturing, caring for, and protecting him. In a very similar manner, we are stewards of the work God births through us. Every work that is born through us must be nurtured, cared for, and protected. Just as a mother is responsible to feed, nourish, care, nurture, and protect the child born to her, we have to take care of, feed, and protect the work that God births through us. We cannot allow the devil or people with evil intentions to destroy the work that God has released through us. In the following chapters, we will consider four elements that are involved in the process of giving birth to the purposes of God. Chapter 2. The deposit in you. God releases his purposes through the deposit that is in us. The deposit in us determines what is birthed through us. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33-37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. What is birthed from within us is dependent on the treasure or deposit that is in us. If we have a good deposit in our hearts, we will give birth to good things. If we have an evil deposit in our hearts, we will give birth to evil things. The deposit in us determines the nature of what is birthed through us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15-20. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Here Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees. The Pharisees assumed that if they had good fruit, the tree would inevitably become good. But Jesus pointed out that the converse is actually true. Only if the tree were good, would its fruit be good. The nature of the tree determines the fruit it bears. The deposit that is in us will determine the fruit that we will bear. It will determine what we will give birth to in our lives. What is in us will determine what is released through our lives. So also, God releases his works through us in conjunction with the deposit that is in us. Therefore, what we have already deposited in us and continue to deposit in us are very important. How is the deposit made? God deposits things in our lives. John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." God can deposit things in our lives. The deposit, or the good treasure, we have is put in us by God himself. He is the source of what we have. If God chooses to, he can deposit things in our lives, gifts, anointing, and other abilities that we do not possess at present. Other people can deposit things in our lives. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The people we are associated with deposit either good or evil things in us. We read in the book of Deuteronomy that God set up the relationship between Moses and Joshua, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. God told Moses to go and establish Joshua as a leader, Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 to 23. The anointing of Moses was passed on to Joshua. The spirit of wisdom was in Joshua because Moses had laid hands on him, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Something is deposited from one person to the other. Good deposits can come into our lives through other people. So, we can purposefully choose the kind of people we spend time with and allow them to deposit good things in our lives. We can deposit things in our own life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We can determine what we deposit in our own lives. We purposefully put the deposit in there by studying the Word of God, spending time with certain people, and receiving training in certain areas. When we have a good treasure in us, we are positioning ourselves or putting ourselves in a place where good things can be birthed through us. As we begin to understand the work that God wants to release through us, we should deposit those very things in our lives, and it will help birth the work of God. We can do this through several ways: by asking God to impart the deposits we need into our lives, by spending time with people who can impart these to us, or by receiving the necessary training. Only when the deposit is within us will it come forth. We cannot bring forth something that has not already been deposited in us. For example, if you are a pastor and have planted a new church, God desires for the church to grow, increase in number, become stronger, and be the kind of church He wants it to be. Now, you need to determine what kind of deposit you will need to make this happen. You might need a greater deposit of the Word of God, greater deposit of the anointing of God, greater wisdom to be able to lead the church and make right decisions, good church organization and management skills. Therefore, you must study the Word, increase in the anointing, learn about good church management, and deposit all these things in you, so that the things concerning the church can be birthed through you. Chapter 3. Birthing through prayer. We give birth to the purposes of God in our lives through prayer. Prayer is the birthing process by which we bring forth the things of God into existence in the earth. In prayer, you receive an understanding of the purposes of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In addition to the general plans and purposes of God for the human race, God has certain things planned and prepared for each of us as individuals. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. To many of us, the purposes of God for our lives may not be obvious and may almost seem to be a mystery. However, the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows all the deep things of God and is fully aware of God's plans and purposes, for He Himself is God. The Holy Spirit will reveal the plans and purposes of God to us. This often happens in prayer. When praying in the Spirit, you are praying the purposes of God into existence. A powerful benefit of praying in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, is that we are praying mysteries. When we are praying in the Spirit, we are in fact praying the plans and purposes of God for our own lives, which at that point may be a mystery or a thing hidden to us. In prayer, God reveals to us the things He wants to birth through us. As we pray, conception takes place, and the purposes of God are impregnated into our spirits. As we continue to pray in the Spirit, we give shape to the purposes of God in the spirit realm. Birth or delivery may not have taken place as yet. But from the time of conception till delivery, there is a period of gestation or a period of growth, inward growth and growth in the unseen realm. This is what happens as we pray in the Spirit. We may not see any visible change, but, in the spirit realm, the purposes of God are being shaped and formed, and getting closer to the time when they can be released on the earth. So, when we get an idea or a vision and when God reveals to us the things He desires to release through us, we need to spend time praying over them. At the right time, in the fullness of time, His purposes will be birthed into the earth. Prayer aligns your will to God's will. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7-9. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 and 39, and verse 42. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." It is difficult for our minds to grasp the fact that the Son of God had to learn obedience. Yet, the verses above reveal to us that the Son had godly fear or godly reverence for the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus came face to face with the sacrificial death he would die, it was through an agonizing time of prayer and supplications with vehement cries that he came to a point where he could say yes to the Father's will. It was through that intense time of prayer that his will became perfectly aligned to the Father's will, even to the point of being obedient unto death. So, also in our lives, very often, we may enter into a time of prayer where our will is not totally yielded to doing his will. But as we go through a time of prayer in the Father's presence, very often we emerge, having our will perfectly aligned to his will. We come from our time of prayer saying, "Lord, let your will be done." Thus, prayer not only helps birth, shape, and form God's purposes in the unseen realm until it is ready to be released in the natural, but prayer also helps us to align our will to the Father's will, so that we are ready to carry out His purposes on the earth. Chapter 4. The Spoken Word. The words we speak are very often tools through which we execute the will and purpose of God on the earth. Our words influence and shape not only our present but also our future. Release words that will ignite your life with the purposes of God. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. The tongue is referred to as fire, indicating that the tongue has a great influence. This verse is specifically talking about the influence of an evil tongue, a tongue that speaks evil. Just as an evil tongue is a world of sin, a good tongue is a world of blessing, James chapter 3, verse 6. An evil tongue defiles the whole body while a good tongue blesses the whole body. The important message is that our tongue affects our entire being. Our tongue influences the course of our existence. Our life is being set on fire by our tongue. It is being influenced by the words we speak. An evil tongue is set on fire or inspired by hell itself. But a tongue that is a world of blessing and anointing is set on fire by God, His Word, and His Spirit. This tongue will bless the whole body. It is a tongue that will ignite our lives with the blessings that God has for us. It is a tongue that will release the purposes of God on the earth. A tongue can either be a world of iniquity or a world of blessing. We give birth to the purposes of God through the words we speak. We need to release words that will set on fire the course of our existence with the plans and purposes of God. We need to speak the things of God into existence. Shape your world by speaking the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The natural was made from the spiritual. The visible came out of the invisible. The invisible, or the spiritual material, that was used to give birth to the natural was the spoken word of God. Thus, it is the word of God that shapes, forms, gives birth, creates, and brings into existence things in the natural realm. God has given us the authority and ability to speak His word into our lives and determine the way we want it to be. Speak the dreams, plans, and purposes of God into your life. Chapter 5. Diligent Work. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires, and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Dreams don't become a reality until someone is willing to combine their dreams with blood, sweat, and tears. It will take diligent work on our part to give birth to the purposes of God. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. We can never reap in joy until we are first willing to sow in tears. We may have a God-given vision or dream, but it will take some uphill struggle and dedicated effort on our part to make it happen. As we lay one brick on the other, a wind of opposition might suddenly blow and push a few bricks down. But we must pick them up, build again, and keep moving forward. It will take some diligent work to give birth to the purposes of God. God has not called us to be just dreamers, but workers who work for His kingdom. We are called to do the work of the ministry, not just dream about the work of the ministry. Keep working through all the difficulties and challenges, and the dream will come to pass. I believe that there are purposes that God wants to birth through each one of us. Don't go to heaven saying, "Lord, I dreamed big, but I did not accomplish anything." We need to go to heaven, knowing that we have given birth to everything that God wanted to birth through us on the earth. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.